They will be going, or the 13th, one of the 2 days, 11th or 12th, somewhere in there, Tuesday or Wednesday, they're going for their COVID test. So let's pray that that thing becomes negative so that we can get mom into the doctor and let them see what's going on with them, with all of her sinuses. All right. I want to thank all of you that came Friday. I know some of you couldn't. That's okay. But for you, I'm sure you watched it online or on Facebook Live. There was 140-something views. So people around the world sent their greetings to Brother and Sister Dale being married 62 years on Friday. And it cheered them up with the kids and adults singing and the kids playing the instruments. So thank you for your effort. It will not be forgotten. So now Wednesday, we'll have these here. I'll be speaking Wednesday, and hopefully Dad gets his test results back before Sunday and he can get back here. Amen. 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 Brother Boyd, Brother Donnie, Brother Danny, Brother Mark, Brother Anderson, Brother Terrence, myself, Brother Luis, Brother Tony and Sister Esther, Brother Bob, Brother Zach, Brother Aaron, Brother Josiah, Brother Richard, Brother Josh, Brother Gary Krantz, Brother John Durrett. That will be for Wednesday. It's basically the same. I know it's hard for somebody like Brother Michael and them to get up here on Wednesday. So, and Brother Ryan works odd hours, so, and Brother Kern's working too there on Wednesday, so give them some time and then let somebody else come. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to Leviticus 23. We're going to be speaking today on the Feast of Tabernacles. Like I said before, remember everyone. Oh, also remember Brother Ron Spencer. He's going one day this week to, they're going to run a scan again on his brain and his lungs. For the supposed cancer. So we're going to believe that all is well and everything's done good. Brother Nate and Sister Caitlin had a beautiful baby boy, Charlie, the other day, and it's had a few complications, but according to what they're saying now, the baby may go home in a couple of days. So we thank God for that. Amen. Kids are resilient, man. They're just so resilient. You look at them and you go, man, that don't look good. Then a couple of days later, the kid's okay, you know. So he had a lot of bruising and things going on. Sugar level was up. So all of you that know, I know you've been in prayer, Brother Nate's a good friend of ours and a good minister in the gospel. And he's been a friend since he was a kid. So now he has a kid. So it makes you feel kind of old. So anyway, we're on the Feast of the Lord. This will be part 9, Feast of Tabernacles. All right. And this will be the last great feast that we will be talking about. And then what we'll do on Wednesday is we'll do a little more review. But we will also get into there was 3 required feasts that all males, M-A-L-E-S, all males had to attend. There was 3 feasts. They didn't have to attend all 7, but there was 3 that they were required as Jews to participate in. All right, and we'll do those Wednesday because, to me, it shows us in this day and it narrows everything down to those 3 feasts, which they have a significance. That's why God asked that that happen, all right, that they come to the feast and not come empty-handed. They had to come with something, all right. So let's Leviticus 23:34. We'll read here in just a second. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We thank you for the message of the hour, Lord. We thank you for the reality of a living God that we can know that, Lord, the world is looking for you to come, and Lord, you will in a physical form. But Lord, we're looking at that secret catching away. We're looking at that thief in the night, the one that comes and takes away his lovely bride right out from under the devil's nose and takes us, Lord, over into another dimension. Just looking a few minutes ago of the pictures of Brother Moat and Brother Tatum and Brother George Canada and Brother Mike Canada, Lord, and just realizing one thing's for sure. They're having a lot better time than we are. And Lord, they are waiting to come back here, Father, so that we can reunite with them, Lord, and then our bodies will be changed. These tabernacles that you've allowed us to live in, Lord, through our time here on earth, Lord, they're temporary. Lord, but we know that what's inside is eternal. And then the outside is going to be changed into the eternal. And Lord, if we don't see you, Lord, we've missed everything, Lord. If our eyes are not focused on you, the wonderful bridegroom, Lord, we long for that day when we can stand there and talk to you, Lord, face to face. And Lord, we know, as you said through your prophet, that, Lord, you waited for 4,000 years before you could come as a little baby, but that didn't bother you one bit. Lord, you have patience like no other, Father. I pray that you'll transfer that patience to us, Lord, that we'll realize that you're in total control of this thing. And Satan has nothing but permitted power. His only power, he don't even have a power in a name, but we have a power in the name of Jesus Christ. The eternal Son of the living God, the eternal Creator, the God of the universe. But Lord, you're also residing in our heart today. This small tabernacle that we've been given from our birth of union between mom and dad, we've all come that way, Father, but Lord, we've grown up now to a place that one inside of us, Lord, must begin to take over. And it only comes by the revealing of your word, as Brother Bob was talking about Wednesday night, Lord. There's no other sensation. Lord, we love those, and we love the different things and the little added bonuses we get, but Lord, there's nothing like you revealing yourself through this word of God and be sitting in a congregation and the word goes forth and something sparks in your heart and says, that ain't nothing but the truth. Lord, we know that those words were spoken many years ago by a little woman, Lord, that just had childlike faith. Sister Hattie Wright, when those words rang out, Lord, there was something changed. Father, we pray today, Lord, that same one would come, Lord, and change, Father. Not only change our body, but change right now our thinking, Lord, towards you. For Lord, we pray that. That then as we pray that will be changed, Lord, that it'll connect to the outside man. And these old vile bodies will be changed, Lord. We know that healing is temporary. But Lord, the healing of the soul is eternal. Father, as we go through this Feast of Tabernacles, let us realize one thing's for sure. We're going to live with you for an eternity in these tabernacles. But Lord, there's a process and a journey that we have to go through first. And we're going to continue through that today, Lord. Be with each one. Be with the ones that are sick. Be with mom and dad, Lord. Keep them safe. Brother Ron Spencer, Lord, the list, as Brother Terrence said, is so long, Lord, of the people that have been afflicted by this virus, Lord. But you knew before the foundation of the world, I was thinking yesterday, Lord, you're the only one that has a balm. You're the balm in Gilead. It's not a chemical. It's not something that man can produce, but it's, Lord, it's something what you are. And we look toward that balm in Gilead today, Father, that balm will be placed on whatever sickness. It doesn't matter. Lord, you even told a little prophet that was born in sin and came on the earth, and you anointed him to be a prophet in the end time. You told him that cancer would not even stand before him, Lord, while he was under that anointing. Lord, we pray that anointing did not leave. That anointing is here today. And Lord, it's an anointing that comes from us hearing, listening, and receiving the word of God. So I pray that you would bless that time that we have now just for a moment. And you'll be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Feast of Tabernacles. Leviticus 23:34. And we can, if you want to, get the chart ready. We'll pull it up as soon as I get finished reading this. And we'll just kind of review a minute. Speaking to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day now, we're in the 7th month, which is what? October. For them it's October, because it starts in April to October. The 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. Now we bring in 7 days back in again. All right? We hadn't had 7 days until back over in the other feast. All right? Because remember, the Feast of Trumpets was a blowing of the trumpet. Then you had the Day of Atonement. Now you're coming back into something where we can type the church ages, and we can type the seven spirits of God. We can type the seven virtues and all the different things. So watch this. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. On the eighth day, that's not seven. On the eighth day, which is what? The first day over again. You've had 7 days. We've went seven sevens is 49. We've had 49 weeks. We've had 49 years. We've had all these different 49s. But remember, on the eighth day shall be a holy convocation. So it's going to be outside of those 7 days. Okay? All right? And that type something in just a minute. We'll show it to you. And on the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon this day. So in other words, we are including everything now. All right? We've come down to the seventh church age. We've come down to the seven seals. We've come down to all the sevens that you want to talk about. It's right here. All right. But now remember, you and I, you got to move over into an eighth day, because the eighth day is eternity. All right. Come out of the feast, but watch what we're doing here. Now look, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your free will offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. This is a special time. Now watch, verse 39. Also in the 15th day, when you have gathered in the fruit. Now we're going to talk about it in a minute. We had one harvest of barley, remember? One harvest of wheat. Now we have this is a harvest of corn and fruit. So there's three harvests, all right? Harvest of barley, which was what? Feast of First Fruits. Feast of Pentecost was the two loaves of wheat. And this is what we're going to talk about today is corn and fruit. Because watch it says right here. When you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees and branches of palm trees, and the boughs of fig trees. Now this is all what? Natural things. Not man-made. Natural things. Things that God has produced. Or the earth has produced. Alright? And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. So you have to go outside in your yard and build a booth. But symbolic. Alright? And you shall take, and ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice. Now, it's going to be a happy time. I'm glad God put me in flesh. Because that's what he requires for redemption. He required Adam and Eve to be in flesh and allowed them to fall so that he can be the redeemer. Because if you're born again today, your soul doesn't need redemption. You're already redeemed. This is what needs redemption. So he's telling them to go outside of their normal, go build a booth. Lord, we used to love to do it as kids. Me and Terrence and some of the neighbors, man, we'd go build. And there's no wonder we didn't get bit by something. But we didn't, and it was fun. We had fun. But look, this thing, they're going to have you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths. Not just build it, you got to go dwell in it. All right? You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing. Because what happened during the 40 years, we always think, man, 40 years, the clothes never, they never got threadbare. They never had to shod the shoes. They didn't need Walmart or Kmart or where. They didn't need anything. But you got to remember, they lived in those tents for 40 years also. So God preserved the tents for 40 years that they were living in, because we remember, Brother Gary, you've got that big old tent of yours. I don't think it lasts 40 years. But now remember, they took it down and put it up every other day or two, or every other week, or every other month, or even every other day. They'd have to take that thing down, pack it up, put it on their animal, and go to wherever God tells them to go to. So that's the same thing, see, this thing right here. This is your flesh. Satan beats on it because he has one hold on you, and that's your flesh. He knows that thing came from sin. It came from the cause that he caused in the garden, right? That Eve caused, but Satan was a part of it. And he knows that he can have a part of that attachment to your flesh. As we were talking to also, if you pull the chart up, when we talk about the two loaves, this is leaven. We know leaven is sin, but this is born in sin, shaping in iniquity. This is not any good. This is decaying. It is rotting. I'll promise you. Don't wear deodorant for a while. Don't ever try that. Not in a crowd. Maybe with social distancing, but not in a crowd. All right? Why? Because we're corrupt.
Right.
We are corrupt people in this. So what does God have to do? God has to clean the inside guy up first. Our problem is like Bob was talking about Wednesday. You know, you can do's and don'ts this thing to death. This thing. But if there's no, if the resident in the house is still the resident that made you do it before, eventually you're going to just keep doing it. You're going to hide. You're going to try to, you're going to try to hide it or something, but when the Holy Ghost comes into your soul and cleans that thing out, takes that desire that you had for doing those things away. See, then our body, think about this. We live in this world. We work. We rub shoulders with humanity. Amen? All the time. We buy cars, we buy houses, we interact with, I was thinking about this the other day, we interact with the world. We all do. Even maybe internationally. With Brother John doing the different things he does and all the different things that y'all do in the car lot. You interact all the time. And when they look at you, they look at you as, well, you're just a nice guy, a nice looking guy, you dress well. But then you gotta go deeper than that. You see, there's no earrings in our ear, men, no earrings in the women's ear. Then you keep going deeper, and I know some of you may have got a tattoo before you came into the message, and I'm not bashing tattoos, but you're not all tatted up. So they look at you a little different that way, and then you continue through your conversation with people. Listen, if they don't walk away and say, there's something different about that person. And sometimes they'll ask you. Like I got friends. I tell them, don't call me on Sunday. Why? We go to church too. I say, yeah, y'all go like 30 minutes in the morning and you're back home by lunch so you can watch football. Not now, but was able to before. You understand what I'm saying? And then we tell people, we go to church and we're there pretty much all day.
Right.
And they look at you like, huh? A preacher preach an hour? Oh, come on, people. Good grief.
Right.
We got to show the world that we're different.
Right.
We can stand here and preach. But look, once we do come to the level that we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we come to church, and we commune with God in the way that he wants us to commune with him.
Right.
Not like the world that communes with him when they really are not communing with him, you know who they're communing with. The God of this evil age has inserted himself to be Jesus Christ. I said he's inserted himself to be. And then everything's okay. But everything's not okay. We have a level that we have to come to that no amount of sermon, no amount of preaching is going to change somebody. But your life will. You cannot say a word. Brother Brown, what'd he say? He said, live me a sermon. So no matter of do's and don'ts and all these different things, Brother Zach, we did it forever. And you just sat there and went on and did what you wanted to do, didn't you? Right? You still do what you want to do now, right?
Right.
See? It's changed, but it just changed the way you look at it. Yeah. Right? Same way with all of us. You know, I've always said, you know, you take this tabernacle. God didn't destroy it. He cleaned it up. This used to hold a bear. This used to curse. X, Y, Z. Put whatever you got in there. Amen? God didn't cut the hand off and... No, he changed the guy in the control tower. He changed it where I then listened to the correct watchman. Getting off of my subject here, but that's part of it though. Part of it, because you and I are now in the Feast of Tabernacles. So what anything goes on has to go on. It goes on in your tabernacle, not this. This is just a place we decided to come to. That God tells us to assemble ourselves together, all right? But the great tabernacle that God's looking at is me and you.
Amen.
Now, Israel went through it by motion. Why? Because they didn't have the guy inside. They didn't have the Holy Ghost when in Leviticus. They didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to teach them and train them what to do. They had to be taught and trained by the priest. God gave it to Moses. Moses gave it to the priest. I read it. It says Moses right here. It says what? Speaking to the children of Israel, Moses, saying, and he gave them a statute to do. He gave them a statute right here on Passover. This was very important because you know what? If you didn't make it past Passover, you died.
That's right.
Same way with us. You must have a Passover.
Amen.
Or you're dead.
And
you say, no, I'm alive. I can work out and I can, 60 years old, that's pretty good. It's dying. Eventually there'll be more down here than up here. Don't worry. But you know what? We were talking the other day, some of us were. Listen how important your new birth is. Because Brother Branham tells us, I'm on tabernacles, I'll get to it in just a minute, that Brother Branham tells us that if you die a sinner, you come up in that old same body, because what would be the desire of, I mean, a sinner dies, goes over into the fifth dimension, and he's young again. No, that ain't going to work, because they haven't been changed.
Right.
See, my change comes here, Brother Brown. My change started at the new birth.
Right.
So this 60-year-old guy, back when I was 38 years old, 39, almost in January there, in 1997, 1998, in there, 1999, I got the new birth. I believe my soul was changed, not exchanged. But I believe I turned back to a new guy, a new person. My soul went back to that 18-year-old. Why? Brother Brown said, God put a picture. Before the foundation of the world, he took a picture in the album and he said, that's my son. That's my daughter. These are all my children. I know they're going to have to be born. I know they might be 60. So that 90-year-old lady got born again in Brother Brown's meeting. 90 years old, she lived in sin. If she would have died, she would have come up a 90-year-old woman. Because it don't change her soul. Her soul was still just getting as old as her body. This is just me. But when she went over in that fifth dimension, she wasn't happy. I'll promise you that. But Brother Tatum, Brother George, Brother Mike, Brother Moat, all downstairs, look at their pictures. That's the youth you're going to see because their soul was changed. Not exchanged. The nature of that thing was changed. And you turn back to an 18-year-old child inside or 18-year-old person inside. I just believe that because of what Brother Brown said. He said the sinner will raise in the body that they sinned in. So they're going to raise in their old body. No worth to that, folks. Get born again. I mean, our tabernacles may be getting bad looking, you know. Our bows may be drooping down a little bit. But God's going to change us. He's already changed the inside guy, because remember, Brother Brown said, you're born in the image of what's inside of you. Right. When you take a body change, you're going to change to what's on the inside. Right. All right? So now, that's what I should be talking about over here. So we have to go through Passover. We have to go through unleavened bread. We remember all those. Remember, no leaven. See, now leaven, remember, is a type of sin. But remember, this is also, as we come up to the Feast of Weeks, you got to bake with leaven, to bake or let it rise as two loaves, as Christ and the bride. Everybody got that? Because Christ had to come in human flesh. Okay? Now remember, he wasn't born in sin, but he came into this sinful world because he was 30 and yet looked 50. So it wasn't that he continued to stay a young boy again. But remember, his soul didn't need to be changed. He was God Almighty. He just was trapped in a human body for one purpose, and that's redemption. One purpose. Because he could be Melchizedek, he could be the, me and Joshua talking about this morning, it could be Melchizedek, it could be the one that met Joshua, that's okay. But they were young looking, stepped out of a body, stepped right back into eternity. Jesus Christ had to come into this world, into Satan's Eden, had to be born in this world to do one thing, and that's to bear your sin. To bear your sin, but he was an eternal person inside. I have to put my hope on that, because when he went to Calvary, remember, the Holy Ghost hadn't been given yet. But he was the Holy Ghost. What was inside of him was the Holy Ghost. That's what Brother Brown said, broke the blood cell so that the flesh man could die, released the life for him to go talk to the people in the prison in hell, come back up to paradise, pick them up, take them to a position, and come right back up and pick that body up. And when he picked that body up, what did it do? It turned back into that 18-year-old form that I believe what God looked like before the foundation of the world. He's a young guy standing out there in eternity, not an old man. How are we going to be born and changed in his image? If he's young, we're young. Brother Branham proved that by going across the curtain of time and seeing the 90-year-old woman. He said, and the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord kind of was just, I don't know if he's picking on him or not. He said, don't you remember that girl? Well, no, he didn't, because she was 90 years old when he remembered her on this side. But boy, to see her on the other side and see, he said, oh my. He said, that's why he said, right after that, he said, don't miss this. Whatever you do, don't miss this. The 90-year-old was an 18-year-old girl, and he said she'll be that for an eternity. Amen. But you know what? There's a 90-year-old body of that girl laying somewhere in the earth, in a funeral home, in a grave. That young person is going to be greater than that person now, and that person that's greater is going to mold right back into that body and change it. Amen. Right back into a young woman again. Amen? That's, you know what? We enjoy that, the older ones. Some of the younger ones are still going, what do they mean? What do they mean they have aches and pains and can't get out of bed except in shifts? Just wait. I hope you don't have to go through it. I hope we're out of here before then. All right, so you got Passover, unleavened bread. First fruits was the barley harvest. Remember, what was the first one to come to maturity? And we told you what barley was when Jesus resurrected. Remember, barley is the kind of a cheaper wheat. Wheat's more expensive because the Bible tells us in Revelations it's like three times more for wheat than it is for barley. But we know what that is because Jesus made himself lower than the angels. He made himself lower than they called him everything but Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. They called him the devil. They called him a wine bibber. They called him a sinner. Because he hung around people. But now remember, they knew he was different. They knew there was something different about that guy. All right? He was trying to save their soul, and they wouldn't let him. I'm talking about the religious world. It's always been fascinating how that when he met that man of Gadara, the maniac of Gadara, you may call it, whatever. Legions of demons was in that man. Legions. And they called him the Son of God. They declared with their voice, "Thou Son of God, why have you come here to torment us before our time?" And then when he turned and went across the sea, went into the temple, and they're calling him Beelzebub. The religious people of the world that shouldn't have them 1,000 legions of demons. To me, they had more demons than legion did. At least they had more strong ones to call the Son of God a devil and Satan call him the Son of God. So, but that's what it is now. God of this evil age, same thing. It's blinded the eyes of the people. So now we've got the Feast of Pentecost, which is your second harvest. Everybody got that? First harvest, second harvest, Feast of Weeks, which is the wheat harvest where you had to make 2 loaves of bread with leaven. So you had to add this back in, because what did God do? God didn't change Peter on the day of Pentecost in his flesh. He changed him in his soul. Not exchange. I'm saying that again. God doesn't exchange your soul. You are who you are, who you are. All right? And that's what God wants to work on. He wants to deal with. He wants to deal with your soul. He don't want to buy you a new one or get you a new one and put, no, he likes what he's got. All right? So now, that's the Feast of Pentecost. So you got, now look, when did the day of Pentecost happen? It was on the what? 50th day. Which is the 8th day. Which is the 8th day. You say, how? 7 sevens is 49. You keep your 7 cycle. It was one day extra. Which is the 8th day. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost come on the 8th day. You and I, the baptism of the Holy Ghost came on your what? 8th day. Right. Called you out of the what? Church age that you're in, the 7th church age that you're in, called you out of it. We're not going to get the Feast of Tabernacles, I don't think. But that Feast of Pentecost changed them inside. All right? So now you've got your Feast of First Fruits, which was barley. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. All right? He said, "I'll be right back." So he came back on the 8th day, on the day of Pentecost, outside of the 7s. That's why the Jubilee year, counting to you, remember I read it, the trumpets, and the Feast of the Trumpets is 49 years and then one more year, which is not another year. It's the 1 year of the next 49-year cycle, which what? Makes a circle. All right, makes a circle. All right. Spoke about that a long time ago. All right, so the Feast of Pentecost. So that's the Feast of Weeks because of 7 sevens. So on the 50th day, the Holy Ghost came. And then we've had a long period, Brother Branham tells us, a long period of dry summer, which it's not dry. It may be dry to the world, but it's not dry to the people that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because from this day right here until this day, I'm talking about not 12 or 24 hour day, I'm talking about the day of the Lord, the day. The 7 church ages. Alright? Cause there you have your Feast of Weeks, your 7 church ages. We've been through 7 church ages where God has each age has had a Pentecost. They had their own day of Pentecost. Not one day though. It spread out now to where every day is the day of Pentecost. All right, every day is the day of first fruits, unleavened bread, Passover, different one. Because there's people getting born again every day now. On that day of Pentecost, it was 120 on that day and 3,000. All right. But then see that spread by spiritual multiplication, that spread out through the church ages, spread out through the church ages, each one having a messenger to bring the message to that age. Everybody got that? Say amen. And what is that message? Here we come to the trumpets. that we were talking about a couple of Sundays ago. We come to the Feast of Trumpets. What is trumpets? Trumpets is a noise, or trumpets is a voice, or trumpet is a sound. And we read the different things about the Feast of the Trumpets. Now let's go to Leviticus 23:23, just to review. If I don't get finished, we'll finish Wednesday night. That'll be okay. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month. Now remember, we're in the fall feast. All right? We're in the fall feast where they harvest corn and fruit. That sound familiar? Okay. Speaking of the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now we go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7. Even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound. How shall it be known what is piped or harp? How do you know that William Branham was right? How do you know we're not supposed to be following fill in the blank? How do you know that? Because that trumpet of others have given uncertain sound. Like I said before, you'd be sitting in the congregation. I have several times, and I am not critical of preachers, because preachers can do you good, but they can also do you harm, and they can also tell you things that are not right. Okay? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, and then that little something inside of you, what is it? It's that man in the control tower going, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's put that in the Bible, and let's put that in the prophet's message. You got to put them both together. Because if that trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? Listen, Brother Bob, I almost giggled out loud. He was talking about the four combat beasts. He kept saying combat beasts, combat beasts. And the thought came to me, yeah, Lord, you didn't call them the four picnic beasts. Right? You didn't call them the four picnic beasts where, you know, it's like an ant and a slug. And no, they're combat beasts. They're lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. Combat. Something to fight with. Who shall prepare himself to battle? That's why I thought of the quote where Brother Brown said, this is not a picnic, this is the battle. So I said, Lord, you didn't send us picnic beast, you sent us combat beast. And they will, if we'll just let that, what? As Ezekiel says, let that one come to the forefront. If you need the lion, if you need the ox, the man and the eagle, it's right here inside of you. You don't have to call to get it. But thank God, see, that a prophet, a trumpet told us that those four combat beasts were the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You won't hear that from anybody else. But now that I read it in the Bible, see, now that you read it in the Bible with an open book, you see it all the way down through how the lion did his work, the ox did his work, and then Brother Branham goes and puts them in the church ages. First three church ages, the boldness of a lion. They stepped out. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Amen. Columbus age, it was just the ox, you know, the labor. It was just a whole 1,500 years of dark ages. They barely made it through that ox labor, you know. Not very fast, but pulls a lot of weight. All right, same way with you and I. Brother Brown said, we need that every day. All right, then you've got what? The intelligence of man. Now look, not the intelligence of man, but the intelligence in the statue of a perfect man, that knowledge that the Holy Ghost gives you is Holy Ghost knowledge, comes from the man anointing, all right? But now remember, too, we had a man anointing down here on earth, because look, in the time of Luther and Wesley and toward Pentecost, the age of people building stuff, you went from a buggy to a car, right? You had all these different communications. Everything happened during the man intelligence part, but God was given the intelligence from Luther and Wesley and Pentecost and given it to us in the intelligence of God, not the intelligence of man. Sure, we use the intelligence of man. You have to go to school and do all the different things. But when it's contrary to the Word of God, you go back to God's intelligence. You go back to God's knowledge. All right? So likewise, ye except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. Listen, if it's not an inspired word of God, you're just speaking in the air. You're just speaking into the air. That's why Jesus said, he said, my words will not return void, but will accomplish what it said. That's why I read that quote where Brother Brown said, well, you've done all you can do. Stand right there. Say, God, you said it, and I'm going to stand right here. Kind of like that guy that says, Lord, if you don't save me, you're going to find a bag of dry bones right here in this spot because I'm not moving. Well, see, when we get that desperate, then see, God moves on the scene instead of us just saying half a minute prayer and going on. But ye shall speak into the air. So it's got to have what? This message, this word of God has substance. Because remember, when we get into this, we ever get to Tabernacles, John 1 just absolutely nails it when he said the word was made flesh. And that word dwelt is interpreted as tabernacle. So he said, that word was made flesh and tabernacled. He made a booth just like he required them in Israel to make a booth. He made a booth to live in called Jesus Christ. All right. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:51. Because look, that trumpet, look where it happened. It didn't happen over here in your new birth. You were a baby. Don't pull the chart up. But you were a baby. You were in your springtime. Because you got 4 spring feasts. You got 3 fall feasts. But now remember, from your new birth until that trumpet sounding is a journey. It's a journey you go through. We've all been through. But there's going to be a time when this says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What? At the last trump. This is it. There is no other trumpeter, no other messenger to come, no other porter. Listen, folks, if Christ don't come on the scene like he said he would, then what are we looking for? That's what I was thinking. Everybody said, this is the time for Jesus to come, they push this thing off. Even denominations, and the Catholic Church, they keep him on the cross. Okay, Jesus died for me 2,000 years ago. Okay, that's good. But you got to take that and put that life in here. If you don't put that life in here, then you're just going through motions. Right? See, that's why Brother Branham, I believe the last trump for the trumpets to sound, he gave Brother Branham 2 messages. This messenger, Malachi 4, will do 2 things. Number 1, restore back the faith of the fathers. Take us back to that first day holy convocation. And then something that's never been revealed in the 7 days of feast. Only in the 8th day holy convocation was that revealed. And that's what come to me and you. But you got to have an 8th day new birth first. If not, you're just sitting there in a cycle of 7s. You won't have a jubilee year? No, we've already entered in our 50, our jubilee, because that's what the day of Pentecost was. It was on the 50th day they received the Holy Ghost. And on your 50th day, you received the Holy Ghost. Not 24-hour day, but in the day of the Lord. That's why I said I love when John says I was in the Lord's day, and it took a prophet to tell us that that wasn't a 24-hour day. That was the day that John was living in. Like he said, Armand Neville, the day that Armand Neville lives in is the day that the revelation is when Armand Neville's on the earth. So what's ours? We're the 8th day in spirit, but it's required. This is required reading or required revelation that we take this thing into the 8th day. Nobody else has had to do that. 7 sevens. They just continued in that 7-year cycle, and the 7 sevens is 49. But somebody, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, you got to get in the first trump, the first part of the message. Then the trumpet shall sound. To me, that's the blast of those seven thunders that reveals you into the eighth, that takes this into the eighth day. But you know what? We've got to accept it up here first. What have you heard all your life? What have you heard all your life? By and by, I'm going to die. Right? Death has reigned, the Bible says, from Adam till now. And it's still reigning. R-E-I-G, reign, not R-A-I-N. All right? Reign. Did I spell that right? Yeah. Okay. Death has reigned. In other words, you and I know that when we're born into this world, we come to a knowledge, especially some of us that are a little bit dark, lighter on the top, realize that we're heading toward the sundown of our life. And if something doesn't happen, sun's going to go down. But now not on the inside guy. See, it's already entered into that eighth day. That's why if we ever get to it, if we don't get to it, we'll get to it Wednesday. That's why Brother Branham, that great revelation. They said, Brother Branham, you've run out of your types. You've seven. He said, hold on. Got one more. Because remember, literally, you and I are going to stay in this seven day or a week cycle, month cycle, whatever you want to call it. We're staying in a seven cycle. Now look, we've already passed from death into life. But I'm telling you physically, even when we come back, the millennium will still be a 7 day rest.
Right.
It will not be the eighth day. That's why I thank God for a prophet that he showed a scripture over here that was only for the millennium. He showed a scripture over here that was only for the future home. Future home. Who in the world thought of a future home? Because you have people that don't even believe in a millennium. You got people in the message that think we're already in the millennium. Take them to a zoo. Throw them in with the tigers and we'll find out whether we're in the millennium or not. But we are waiting for that future home, not the millennium. The millennium's not to us. It's to Israel because of that last day. They'll build and they'll inhabit. The future home, folks, has already been built. It was built by your desire. You have your own little God's green acre. When you got born again, you got a part of the city. Literally, not just figuratively. Because nothing's going to live in that city that didn't have the new birth while they were on earth. I just don't see that. That's what Brother Branham said. And then we read the scripture that now says the Lamb will be the light in the city. Well, guess what? If the Lamb's the light, you and I are going to be the light. Because it glows all through us. Because what? She is Him. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. A lot of people heard that last trump. But did they hear the trumpet that sounded that the dead shall be raised incorruptible? No, they have not, because a lot of them are already still, as we said, Brother Moat, Brother, all the different ones that's passed on. They're waiting on us. Now, they heard the last trump. But they didn't hear the last trumpet. That trumpet is that seven thunder virtue. They thought it was. See. It's not seven virtues or seven men with different virtues. It's what? It's a revelation. That you're being changed. And then in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I'll guarantee you, you start seeing the dead walk that were dead before, not dead, asleep. The ones that were asleep in Christ, they died in Christ before. Listen, we're all dead in Christ right now. That's why I said, we read that scripture wrong. It says the dead in Christ. There's nobody physically dead in Christ. I said physically. They died because of the curse. But they died in Christ when we put them in a watery grave and they came up and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's when they died.
Amen.
So now I am already dead in Christ.
Yes.
Paul says I die daily.
Right.
I'm working on a sermon, Brother Luis. The power of death.
Amen.
We think death is this, I'm going to die. A lot of things that's connected with death has a lot of power to it. If Jesus hadn't have died, he couldn't have stood up and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Amen? So that's why Brother Brown says, why do we fear death? We're already dead as we're ever going to be. All right, we'll get to this in a minute. Now, Day of Atonement. So that's the trumpet. We have heard the noise that's going to wake up the saints. Brother Brown said, rapture and faith lies in these books and tapes. We've just got to get a fivefold ministry to put it all together, and that we don't put it together. God puts it together. You hear the part you need to have rapture and faith. Amen? But I'm going to depend on that because I'm going to stand right here. It doesn't matter if I get 60, 65, 70. Some of y'all will be way older than that. Anyway, but I'm going to depend on that trump sounded.
Yes.
I heard that voice and I asked God to forgive me of my sins. And he didn't just birth me into the body of Christ. He gave me this message.
Right.
Because that's the last trumpet. Yeah, I'll clap too. That was the last trumpet that you and I are going to hear. Like I said, can you realize that? Listen, we don't get a trumpet to Israel.
Right.
They'll get a beautiful message from two prophets.
Right.
Not to us.
Right.
We have, this is it, the last trumpet.
Right.
Our Feast of Trumpets, we are continually in it. Because to the bride, I say the bride, not just Christianity, to the bride, these are all continual feasts.
Amen. That's
right. Every day we get up, I remember that Passover.
Yes.
That man that died for me, because I say, Lord Jesus, help me through this day.
Yes.
Well, I'm talking to the Passover lamb.
Yeah,
the guy that died for me.
Right.
And the unleavened bread.
Yes.
And the first fruits. That there's a resurrection every day in our life. Amen? And then there's a Pentecost, and then there's a trumpet, and then we look right here at this Day of Atonement. Now, I love that Day of Atonement because it really tells us, I believe the Day of Atonement told natural Israel where they were. Because what? They were atoning for, they had to have a day that a priest took one sacrifice back behind the veil. He had to make one for himself first. He didn't go back there with beer on his breath. Amen? He didn't go back there with adultery on his breath. He had to be clean. So he had to make a sacrifice for himself and for his family before he walked in. Listen, I know we ministers, you should never hold a minister up because I promise you, we'll fall. Okay? But we have to be careful every day of our life. Brother Brown told us, money, women, and popularity. And you see how many of those three have killed a ministry of somebody. Even so very recently of different ones. So we have, you know why? Because we're the ones that we got the blood. God requires the first fruit. God gives the revelation to the prophet. The prophet preached 1,100 sermons. To me, this is so simple. Why convolute it? He gave us 1,100 sermons. Then he took, Brother Brown said, I give you the big nuggets.
That's right.
And now I want you to take the big nuggets. What? Go into your study, pound out the gold.
That's right. That's right.
into little nuggets because Mama Eagle can't feed you a whole chicken. Amen? Remember we talked about that. Eagles don't eat milk, drink milk. They eat meat. But Mama Eagle chews it up. Mama Eagle sits in her study and she chews it up. And then whatever your heart desires, when you open up, Mama Eagle will put that little bit of meat. That little bit of meat that you need. To me, it's so simple. So simple that that's what, that God's give us a fivefold ministry. And we don't need a big, great big convention hall to have it in. They hadn't heard both trumpets. They hadn't heard they might have heard the trump, but they didn't hear the trumpet. Because the trumpet has to come from a fivefold ministry. The trump came from Brother Branham. This is what I believe. The trump, the message. Hey! God said, hey! Yeah. Hey, here it is. Now you take and declare with your trumpet. Watchman. Watchman, you're in your tower. What do you see? And then you speak against it. That's just what, to me, that's the way God give it to us. And it's so simple. And the Lord spake unto Moses saying on the day of atonement, also on the 10th day of this 7th month. Now remember, the first day was a blowing of trumpets. Get ready. Get ready. Something's coming. You've got 10 days. Remember, I read the commentary. You've got 10 days to get yourself straightened out. Because on this day of atonement, that priest is going in and he's going to do one sacrifice. Then he's going to bring two goats in. Oh, how perfect. Also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your... This is the first time that word comes up. You shall afflict your soul. Way down deep inside. Listen, unleavened bread, that's cleaning up the outside. That's getting all the trash out. But now God says you need to dig down deep. Find out, as Brother Tom Falbush said, if you got the stuff. Afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Why? Because you're getting ready to go build you a house, a little temporary tabernacle. And that's where you're going to have to stay for a little while. Okay? You shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. Now the Hebrew lexicon tells us, just redoing what we did last week, make an atonement, to purge, to cover, cover over with pitch, to pacify or propitiate, to cover, atone for sin, make atonement for, cover over. Now look, see, their problem in the Old Testament was, that's all it done. The blood of bulls and goats, God said, okay, for 1 year, I'm not going to remember that anymore. Because we're going to do two things. We're going to kill one goat, we're going to take the blood of that goat, sprinkle it on the scapegoat, and we're going to send it out far as the east is from the west. I'm not going to remember that sin anymore. But what happened is, in the Old Testament, I know this is elementary, but we're going to back up a little bit to help everybody. Excuse me. But that scapegoat was the second one and took the sin away. But now next year in October or September, October, it's what, it's half and half. Everybody got that? Remember, it's not exactly, it's the moon phase. But anyway, in the fall, in October, the priest had to redo it all over again. Because the sin had piled up underneath. And God was going to say, hey, I'm going to start killing these people. Because I can't stand it. Their sin has went all the way to heaven. So the high priest makes an atonement for himself. He gets himself ready with the message. And then he takes that blood of the bull. He takes it in. And all the sin of the people are on him. That's why Jesus Christ was our high priest. He took our sin into the Holy of Holies and didn't just cover it, Remember in Hebrews or Romans, Paul picks that up and he says, now every year there was a sacrifice made for sins that were committed. And he said, if it hadn't have been for Jesus Christ, he said, then we still would be continue doing it. And they were still doing it, and they still do it now. Because to them, Christ hadn't come. But now remember, they don't have the items to do it with now. That's what they're trying to get, the Temple Mount people and all the different ones. They know they sin. They know they have problems with the Lord. But all they got to do is receive Jesus Christ, not try to make a sacrifice. That's why, see, their eyes are literally blinded just like that right there. So that me and you can come in. But, buddy, when that thing comes off, talk about a day of atonement. Talk about a day when 144,000 are going to mourn that they have already killed the Messiah. It's been 2,000 years. But just like Joseph said, don't worry. Remember when he revealed himself to Benjamin and all that? He revealed himself to them. What's the first thing they said? Oh, man, we deceived him and we killed him. Well, supposedly killed him. Way back when. And we put him in a pit. And we did away with our brother. Said, oh, Lord, he's so powerful. Now all he's got to do is say, die, and we die. Right? He was the right hand of Pharaoh. Whatever Joseph said, that's what happened. But what did Joseph tell him? He said, I hadn't forgot you. He said, I've known you for the whole time you've been gone. He said, I've been watching after you. He said, don't you remember I told you to come over here for my protection? Go to Israel. Come back into the homeland for some protection. And he said, it was done to preserve life. In other words, it was done for him to get a Gentile bride. Took her to the palace and left her there and came back to reveal himself to the little Benjamin group, the 144,000. That's why that Day of Atonement is so important, where they say, where did you get those scars? He says, in the house of my friends, in Zechariah. What a gracious God. But every year, they're going through the ritual motions of it. Every year. And don't even realize. But when they do realize, you know what them old Orthodox Jews are going to do? Every one of them, I believe, are going to turn back to these feast days. They're going to turn back to Leviticus, and they're going to read them feast days, and them two prophets are going to preach them Jesus Christ, and they're going to go, boom. The trumpet will sound for them. That Feast of Trumpets will be the trumpet that sounds through two witnesses that bring them to their Day of Atonement. And then what's going to happen? They're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their booth and be taken in a rapture. But now see, remember, they in tithe have to bring that booth back to the millennium. You and I remember there for a honeymoon. They've got work to do. According to Daniel 70 weeks, according to the book of Ezekiel, they got to build a temple. And I want to read you something here in just a minute that I found out, if we ever get to it. But we know one thing's for sure. We know what the two, we won't read that commentary, Brother Joe. Just go ahead and go to the Feast of Tabernacles. All right, let's go to Leviticus 25:8. Because we know on the Feast of Atonement, they have two goats. I told you, one was a scapegoat and the other one was a goat they killed, sprinkled the blood. They sprinkled the blood on the scapegoat, and a man took that scapegoat so far away that he never would come back. Same way with God and your sin. Take it so far away. Because one goat, remember both goats are Jesus Christ. One, they literally killed him and put him on a cross, right? But then when he came back on the day of Pentecost, he didn't just cover them with blood. He eradicated their sin by the blood. The atonement. The atonement was made. Don't have to make another one anymore. Don't have to go year by year, as Paul tells there in Romans or somewhere in there. Now look, Leviticus 25:8. Thou shalt number seven. Here we go with the sevens again. I want to make that point, but watch. 7 times 7 years, the space of the 7 Sabbaths. Now this has to do with the trumpets. I think I misput this. I put this in the wrong place. But we're going to read it anyway. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make... No, it covers both. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound. So on the Day of Atonement, you could go free. On your Day of Atonement, you went free. Oh, no, I got this sin. You hadn't put it on that scapegoat yet. You need to put that thing on that scapegoat and let God Almighty carry that thing and put it in and let him drop off in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Never, never to be remembered again. All right, let's go. Feast of Tabernacles. We got just about 15 minutes maybe here. So pull the chart back up just one more time. Brother Joe, please. I kind of like that, how that went down. It came up. Pretty neat. So we're right here. It's called Sukkot or Booths, or the Feast of Ingathering, because it is the last harvest. You gather in the harvest. This is the last harvest. The harvest of corn and fruit. I am the vine. You are the branches. What bears the fruit? The branches. Amen? What a great type all the way through. So here we are on the Feast of Tabernacles, the last feast. So we've went through it by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To me, our Day of Atonement is, it's when we realize we need these virtues. There's a lot of people don't realize they need them. But the Bible says, and Brother Brown says, they're required. And once you realize they're acquired, oh, what a Day of Atonement. You realize that that blood didn't stop down here when you received the Holy Ghost. No, you come back into the court, outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. What does the Holy of Holies do? Take away your sin. Sister Shepherd, what does it do? Balls the trash out. Seals it in with what? The Holy Spirit, which is a type of the Day of Atonement. That you realize something died for you. And not that just Jesus died for your sin. That's okay. You know, that's wonderful. But what about now? Jesus Christ died for my sin, yet I still curse. Jesus Christ took away my sin, yet I still, you know, put it in there, whatever it is. Put it inside there. You can't do that. And then going up the statue of a perfect man, yeah, I didn't have much of a temper, but I was temperamental. Ain't much difference. Bob, that's just not, don't laugh like that. But he's still working on me. Make me what? You know what? That's that Day of Atonement. I have to realize again that that goat is gone. Whatever goat you had, God sprinkled it with his blood and sent it out. Now what we're doing, we're going, hey, come back here. Let it go. Let it go. That's why the 144,000 in Zechariah, they're going to mourn. But after that mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourn after that. What a joyous time. Because they're going to realize God has come back to get them in their tabernacle. Leviticus 23, verse 34. Speaking of the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. So on the first day you got a holy convocation. Because what you got to do, you can't work, but you got to what? Bring your boughs, you gotta cut your trees, you know, you're not doing any physical servile work, but you are bringing it, you gotta build your house. Listen, you have something to do with that. Amen? Amen? You have something to do with that statue of a perfect man. Amen. That's something, that's the things you sacrifice to the Lord. Alright? On the first day shall be a holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord as a solemn assembly. and you shall do no servile work therein. Then if you'll, let's skip 37, go down to 39. Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, this is telling you what you got to do now. On that 15th day of the 7th month, in other words, the 15th day of October, somewhere in there, I think it falls this year, October the 2nd, but remember that's our calendar versus theirs. Because see, they keep up with it. You go look, pull it up on a computer. Just put in feast days. It'll tell you for the next 20 years what day the feast day's on. Literally our day, you know, our days. When you have gathered in the fruit of the land, so see what they have to harvest the fruit. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Harvest the fruit. Fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Amen. Gather in the fruit. Gather it in. That's why it's called the Feast of Ingathering. You know what God's doing, folks? He's gathering in. All that Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and Brother Branham taught, you and I are getting the whole, in a southern language, shebang.
Right. Amen.
We're getting the whole meal deal. We're getting the 7 course. We're not leaving one out because, listen, to change this body, we need every bit of it.
Right.
We need every bit of it. On the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. Look, nothing man-made. All natural. All right? And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And you shall keep it as a feast. You shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. So 7 church ages, you've dwelt, God has dwelt in booths for 7 church ages. But there comes an 8th day on the outside of that. And that's the benefit you and I get for listening to the last trumpet. That your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord, your God. Let's go to Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that, yeah, here it is. After that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. Now remember, what makes wine? Grapes, fruit. Fruit does, not grapefruit, fruit, all right? And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter. Everybody. Nobody's excluded. Look, manservant, maidservant, Levite. Bring in the strangers, the fatherless, the widow, that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in a place which the Lord shall choose. Now, where did he choose to place himself, Brother Branham said? In the heart of man. Not in a building, not a tabernacle out there, in the heart of man. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore, thou shalt surely rejoice. Surely rejoice. Let's let Brother Branham... Now remember, this is the future home. And he's telling us now, you got your 7s, you got your an 8th day. So look, so, well now, Brother Branham, you've done run out. You got your 7. Aaron, you're going to have a problem. They're already asleep now. So are you. All right, let's take the last feast, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. Now notice here in the 36th verse. 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. He's reading the Bible. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation. There is another holy time coming. Holy convocation unto you. Now not to the nation, to you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It's a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. Brother Branham now says, now we got an 8th day. Now there's only 7 days, but here we speak of the 8th day, holy convocation. Notice, do no work in it. The eighth day are what? Back to the first day. Why, it speaks of eternity, and she rolls around without a stopping place. Amen? Do you see it? Congregation says amen. Because remember, you're only staying there 7 days. You're only required to stay in this for 7 church ages. Because after the church age is over, there's some kind of change going to happen. You're not in a booth made of sticks and boughs. And no, it's your booth. It's your eternal body. Notice, it was also upon this eighth day, last day, feast day of the tabernacle. Notice, after that, after the last feast day, after the last church age, after the last complete 7 days upon earth, look, after the millennium. So the millennium is still under the seventh day, and you say, well, we're going to be eternal, so is Israel. Somebody is not going to be eternal. Now, that's a whole other ball game for us to talk about, because somebody's got to live 1,000 years. But I want you to watch what, when I read another scripture here, we'll look at something and see it. All right. After the last complete 7 days upon the earth, after the millennium, that this holy convocation comes. Because listen, everything doesn't go into 8 day until the future home comes down to the earth. Then everything's eternal. Because remember, in the millennium, you still got fifth seal, Jew. You've got the foolish virgin that's dead somewhere waiting. You've got the dead, sinner dead. All that you still got there. So that can't be an eight. Got to stay in a seven. Everybody got that? You got to stay in that 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. All right? But now you and I are going to be in the eighth day, body, spirit, and soul, during the millennium. The two witnesses and the 144,000 obviously are going to be, because they take a rapture, they're going to come back in eternal bodies. Now watch what he's talking about. But in the new earth, he has already went and prepared the place. It's built. We have nothing to do with the building of it. He's talking about the eighth day. Remember the holy convocation. Don't do anything. Amen. Eternal. Oh, I just love that word. A holy convocation the eighth day, which is only 7 days. Then on the eighth day, which comes back to the first day again, comes right back to the first day. The eighth day is a holy convocation. Notice, 7 days only has to do with the old creation world time. 7 days, that's the millennium, the rest day. As God labored 6 days, rested the seventh. The church labored 6 days and rest the seventh. But you're still in the time element. I ain't speaking of the eternal. He's talking about the millennium. But you see, there's no such a thing as 8 days. You go back to the first day again. See, the first day. The Sabbath speaks of the old law which was to pass away. The keeping of a Sabbath which passed away, or I've said, changed to another. It didn't pass away. You're talking about getting a new heaven and a new earth, because it doesn't annihilate them. It just changes them. All right? That's the same way with me and you. He didn't annihilate your body and put you in a new one when you got the new birth. No, he just changed the one you got. And he's going to literally change it in this church age.
Right. Amen.
It just changed from the old law of keeping a certain day of the week. Now let's go to number two. So, old man and old woman, don't be discouraged. If you are a representation up here, he's talking about the blackboard. He drew the representation. In this attribute of God, this God, if you have it, if you're represented here, you cannot, you're in the eternal. And if you've crossed from that seventh day into the eighth, you got into the eternal by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So that's what I said. We're already in our future home.
Right.
This is our future home.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's right.
This is it. Remember, John saw it as a bride, what? A bride coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. He saw a city and saw a bride.
Right.
Amen. Now, if you're just trusting upon a sensation, or jumping up and down, or I do this, I keep my seventh day, I don't eat meat, and things like that, that's going to perish anyhow. But this is the eternal. This is the eternal, the feast after the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was the last feast, the seventh feast. We are worshiping now under the Feast of Tabernacles, the seventh church age, which is exactly right. But if you're born again, you've already entered into the eighth day, spiritually. In the millennium, we'll be under the Feast of Tabernacles again, because remember, he goes on later and quotes the scripture that the Bible says they'll build houses and they'll inhabit. You and I are not going to do that. We're in the building we need to be in. And our future home's coming 1,000 years later. But then after the seventh day, we have a holy convocation, go back into the eternal. We come from eternity, folks, and we're going right back to eternity. We just picked up a flesh body for redemption to bring it right back up to where it's supposed to be. By the eternal one that came and redeemed us and taken us back, letting us recognize that we're a part of this. We're a part of this. Let us recognize we are a part of this. I'm going to read this one. Do you know that in the book of Acts and Philippians, read Zechariah, put this up. But in the book of Acts and the book of Philippians, when were males circumcised? On the eighth day. When were you circumcised? On the eighth day. Natural types of spiritual. Acts 7, verses, he gave him the covenant of circumcision. So Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac circumcised and circumcised him on the eighth day. In Philippians, Paul says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was literally physically circumcised on the eighth day. But when he got the new birth, it made him spiritually circumcised. On what? On his eighth day. All right, let's go to Zechariah real quick. I want you to get this. Because this will explain a little bit. Go back, Brother Jodas. There you go. Now, this is Zechariah 14. And it shall come to pass. Now, look. This is the millennium. Because watch what happened. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. The L-O-R-D capital of host, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's going to be required in the millennium that they keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Because watch. And it shall be that whoso will not come of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Brother Brown talks about a heathen being raised up in the millennium and us preaching the gospel to him. Now, that's for a whole new thought, but right here in the Bible, watch. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they'll have no rain. There shall be the plague. You shall plague. Remember, millennium is in time to everybody but us in the 144,000.
Right?
It's not going to bother us, but if they're going to build houses and inhabit, there's got to be a world going on out there somewhere. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt. What? Talk about the world. And the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember, the Bible says he will rule with a rod of iron in the millennium. Something to think about. It'll be a joyous time for us, folks. It'd be a joyous time for the 144,000. But there's going to be a world out there that things may be going on. I'm telling you, it's not eternal.
Right.
It's not an eternal place.
Right.
But it's a millennium that me and you get to rest.
Yes.
And what if we have to walk out one day and go, wind, quit that. Aren't we back to the Adam condition again?
Yes.
See, we're not going to need that in the future home. We're not going to need adjustments in the future home.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
It's perfect. Already done. The prophet said, come on, musician. The Brother Brown said, it's already done.
Right.
It's set. We're not going to need to move an avenue or make our pond bigger.
Right.
But now in the millennium, food for thought, the world is still in time. And this in Zechariah, if you'll continue reading Zechariah 14 in different places, that tells about Israel being in the millennium, the heathen in the millennium. But just remember, this is the last harvest before everything that goes dead.
Right.
The world will be in their winter time when we leave this place. Everything will be dead. I'm talking about physically. When we leave this earth, there's only going to be 144,002 witnesses that have any kind of life in them. Let's stand to our feet. Everything else will die. Amen. Everything will be dead. Because we know that this battle that we're talking about there in the tribulation and all is going to be a physical battle, an atomic battle. It's not going to be. God's battle is the battle of Gog and Magog before the future home. But before the millennium begins, there's a battle. The battle of Armageddon that's been told in the Bible is going to happen. But you know what? You and I, listen, if you're already in your eighth day right now, you do not. That's what I said. The great revelation is that God sent us a prophet to tell us you don't have to go through that. You have entered into your... Oh, Brother Branham, seven. Seven's not eternity. Hold on a minute, he said. It's been in your Bible the whole time. God give us a eighth day. Holy convocation outside of the seven. That we can feast under that and just rest. And just rest. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Let's sing a song before we go.
Nor to weigh down on my knees, and in your own good time, you will answer my pleas. Keep my faith to renew.
Yes, Lord.
On what others do, but to wait.
Everybody's waiting on an answer.
Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord.
About that. Teach me, Lord,
and call on
the name of the Lord. We got a name.
Faith renewed.
Let's sing it as we dismiss.
Wait upon the Lord. Shall renew your
dismissed. Come back at 1:00.
They shall mount up.